yet mouth no curses after, that spoke between screams in a steady confirmation of all good. Those watching could not deny the wounds. They had seen them being dealt. They had helped deal them. They could not deny the sight of blood, the smell of it, the sticky feel of it, the salt taste on too many tongues. They could not deny the stink of burnt flesh, the sight of scabbed and crusted wounds, the dead servant girl, the boy's back striped and bleeding. This was not the quietness of inviolable protection, for she suffered all that was done to her. They had seen a virgin raped, a soldier's scars mocked and redrawn in fresh blood. They had heard a paladin scream, as the priests promised. And yet she did not hate. And yet she did not fear. And yet she said, when she had breath to speak, that the High Lord's justice would rule in the end. The priests shouted threats, promised more torments, blustered and postured. The silence spread, as a pool rises silently above a new broken spring when the dry season ends. One by one, the crowd fell still, or joined the mockery with less eagerness. She was so small, after all, broken like that. They could think of sisters, cousins, friends they had known, who might be where she was, if she were not there. They had thought it would be satisfying to see a paladin, one of the proud and powerful, brought low. But they knew her story. From the year that cruel rumor spread the tale of her cowardice, she was only a peasant girl, born into poverty. What did it prove to shame a sheep farmer's daughter who had known shame already? Some among them had been soldiers, and recognized the scars of a common soldier who has seen hard service. They felt no braver for breaking a soldier's scarred hands. And those who had first laughed to see a virgin raped, and even those who had joined in eagerly, now looked from the dead servant girl to the other, and found something pitiful in both, something shameful in themselves, that they could take pleasure in such pain. She was no threat to them. Why had they ever thought she was a threat? Paladins never threatened the helpless. The threat was elsewhere, in those who wore Liart's horned circle, who flourished the barbed whips and the heated chains. By such small degrees, the crowd's mood changed, shifting back in sudden fear when the priests turned their weapons on individuals chosen not quite at random, but slowly, inexorably, turning away from the praise of cruelty to some vague sympathy with suffering. Glass by glass, as the torches burned down and were replaced again and again, as the day passed into night and another day, and another night and day, one and another of those watching came slowly and without intent to a new vision of the world. Of all this, Pox was hardly aware. At best, she knew what she must do, and why, but those moments seemed few. Pain followed pain in sickening procession. At times even her new insight failed, leaving her adrift in self-disgust or despair. For the most part, she concentrated on refusing anger and hatred, accepting the pain as a necessary part of something chosen long before. When they broke her hands, each bone a separate torment, she struggled against her old fear of crippling. She had clung to the hope that if she lived, she would still be whole, able to fight. But she knew better, knew from having lived through it, that she was more than a hand to hold a sword. She could live, being Gerd's paladin, with no more than breath, or die whole of old age, and be nothing at all. The difference lay in her, was what she had become. No one but she could change it.